New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Ladies and gentlemen and fellow Bible believers, it's wonderful to study what the Bible says about any given subject. When we talk about the creation, the Bible gives the answer to that. The world is confused with its false doctrine and notion of evolution. There's no truth whatsoever to evolution, but there's every bit of truth to what the Bible says in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whether we talk about the origin of the earth, or whether we talk about the origin of man, or the origin of the universe, the Bible gives the answer. It's no other book in the world, no other book in any library of the thousands of libraries and millions of books. There's only one book that tells where the world came from, where the world is going, where we came from, and where we're going. And there's only one book that tells us about salvation and the Savior that came to die for us on the cross. And so as we deal with these various Bible subjects, we just say thank God for the clarity of the Word of God and how the Word of God instructs us and educates us on these powerful, powerful subjects. What does the Bible say about the church? The Bible teaches that the church is the body of Christ. The Bible teaches that the church is the kingdom of God upon this earth. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the one that adds to the church. The church belongs to Him, founded by Him, wears His name, and is to be a glorious church. What does the Bible say about the church? There's between 75 and 80 references to the subject of the church in the New Testament. You can check this out in any computer biblical program, and it's wonderful to study, not just selected passages, not to smorgasbord it or pick out what suits our particular religious doctrine or leaning, but to study every single passage, every single reference to the subject of the church as we come into the Bible. And when we study what the Bible says about the church, then we'll know what God wants us to know about the church. Do you realize that the church is the only institution that Jesus is coming back for? When He returns, and He could return any day, the Bible teaches that He's going to return and come back in the exact same way that He went. You remember in the first chapter of the book of Acts, while the disciples were standing there gazing up into the heavens as Jesus departed to go back to the Father, and He had previously said, "It is finished," and He was glad it was finished. He'd finished His work, and He was on His way back to the Father. The disciples were looking up into the heavens, and there were two angels that said to the disciples, "Why stand you gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that was taken away shall come in like manner as you have seen Him go." And so Jesus is literally going to come back to this world, and literally every eye shall see Him, even the ones that pierced Him, the Roman soldiers that pierced Him, the Jews that cried out, "Crucify Him," the ones that abused Him, the ones that rejected Him. Every eye shall see Him. Someone says, "Well, I don't believe in Jesus." You're still going to see Him. You say, "I don't accept Jesus as the only Savior of the world." I'll guarantee you, you'll bow before Him, and your tongue will confess Him. The Bible says that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. Whether He's the religion of your choice or not, He'll be the one that you'll confess and bow to when He comes back to this world. And so the Bible says He's coming again. And when He comes, He's coming after one institution, and that is the church. Sometimes people say the church is not important. From the standpoint of the Word of God, it's the only thing that is important. In the church, in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, we're saved. Outside of it, we're lost. In it, we're going to be redeemed when Jesus comes. Outside of it, we're going to be lost. You remember we have a tremendous comparison and a type situation back over in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and 7 and 8. You remember the ones that listened to the preaching of righteous Noah. He warned them. He told them about the flood, and the ones that believed were on the inside. And I would rather be on the inside looking out than on the outside looking in. And the same thing is going to happen again. The Bible says the world that was destroyed by water shall the next time be destroyed by fire. Isn't it interesting? These scientists will make fun of what the Bible says about future judgment. Oh, not all scientists. There are some scientists that are believers. But the ones that are quoted in the mass news media ridicule the notion of hell or the judgment or God causing the elements of heaven to melt with a fervent heat. They reject the time-tested and true word and proven word of the living God on this subject, but they'll go way out into left field and they'll take a picture of a polar bear floating on a piece of ice up in Alaska and they'll try to teach global warming just like they're teaching evolution. You see, they'll go crazy after these notions, but not believe the plain, simple truth as it's found on the pages of the Word of God. And so what does the Bible say about the church? We've been dealing with the subject of prophecies concerning the church. Of course, the church was in the mind of God before the world began. Jesus Christ was crucified in the mind of God before there ever was a universe. Read the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation and verse 8. Jesus Christ crucified from the foundation of the world. Then we have the promises looking forward to the Messiah and His work. Back in the garden, about 4,000 years before Christ, God said to the devil, "The seed of the woman will bruise your head, Satan." And so Jesus did it on the cross. Satan is a wounded lion today, seeking whom he may devour, and he's trying to take you with him by getting you to reject him and getting you to refuse what he says about salvation and the church. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem. And on the day of Pentecost, the word of the Lord went forth from Jerusalem, and the church was founded. And so when it comes to the church, there are some very, very important things that you need to understand. Number one, it's God's only soul-saving institution. Number two, you must be in the church in order to be saved. Three, you must be faithful to the Lord and His church in order to be redeemed. There's only salvation inside the church. Only inside the church, only by becoming a part of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ can you come under the blood. Only there can you remember the broken body and the shed blood. It's the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. It's wrapped up in the church. And Jesus wants His church to be a glorious church in your life. How do you treat the church? If you have company, do you slight the church? If you're on vacation, do you slight the church? If you've gone somewhere to the beach, do you slight the church? Or is the highlight of your trip fellowshipping with the saints at the church? Whenever we go to Myrtle Beach or whenever we go to these various resort areas as we are able to go from time to time in our evangelistic travels, the main thing for us is not to go to the shows or not to be out on the golf course, though there's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't use up God's time when you do it. Our goal is not to go to the beach. We don't go to the beaches hardly ever when we're having a few days off. We don't go to end of the shows, but we go to the Lord's church. We love to visit the evangelist and love to visit the people that are standing for one Lord and one faith and one baptism. And so even on vacation, the church is number one. What does the church mean to you? What does the body of Christ mean to you? You don't put on the church and take it off to your own liking. If you want to be saved, Christ and His church is going to have to be number one in your life. There's something that is very, very interesting, and you can take any translation of the Bible and run the references, all the references, to the subject of the church. And as I said, there's between 75 and 80 references to the church in the King James Bible. The King James is the one that I studied and made reference to, but there's several other translations that we have access to, and you can study them. But as we study all nearly 80 references to the church in the entire Bible, there's no reference to the Protestant church. There's no reference to the Catholic church. In all of these references, there's no references to the Protestant church. There's no references to any of the denominations that are named after doctrines or named after individuals or named after systems of church government. Man has tampered with the Word of God. Man has added to and man has taken away. But my Bible says in the last chapter of Revelation, if we add to the words of this prophecy, God is going to add to us the plagues that are written in this book. And if we take away, God's going to take away our part out of the book of life. So I don't want to add an unscriptural name for the church. I don't want to add an unscriptural designation for the church. Someone says there's nothing in a name. Why, bless your heart, everything is in the name of Jesus. and he didn't die for the church in order for you to put some other name on it. As we travel across this great country, people will name their churches after just about everything. And there's a lot of fine people that really believe the Bible, but they need to come out of that denominationalism and go back to the original position and be a part of the restoration of first century Christianity. Back to the Bible. Call things by Bible names and speak where the Scripture speaks and have no headquarters but heaven and let the unity of all Christians be our polar star. You see, the Bible speaks clearly about the church, and we better be serious about the wonderful church of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, and the Scripture is using and the Holy Spirit is comparing the husband-wife relationship to the relationship between Christ and the church. And notice where it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible teaches that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. And you must love the church and give yourself to it. If necessary, die for the Lord's church. Die for the kingdom. In the church, you're saved. Outside of the church, you're lost. And it's not a matter of the church of your choice. It's not a matter of going your own way. It's not a matter of doing what you want to do. It's not a matter of following your own conscience or your heart or your feeling. You must not follow your conscience. You can't follow your heart. As a matter of fact, the heart, the Bible says, is desperately wicked above all things. And so something that is desperately wicked above all things, you surely can't follow. Someone says, well, if you can't follow the heart, if you can't follow the conscience, if you can't follow the feeling, what can you follow? Why, bless your heart, you can follow the Word of God. You can follow the Word of God. You can get rid of those man-made creeds and catechisms. You can come out of those denominations that wear unscriptural names. You can get into your Bible. Many of you already have a good start. Don't stop in the wilderness now. Come on across the Jordan River. Find the truth. Go to the truth. Be a part of the Lord's church and glorify God by loving what God loves and what Jesus loves. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might cleanse it and sanctify it with the washing of water by the word. Listen to this. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. The it there refers to the church. That he might cleanse it and wash it with water by the word. I want to read those two verses and get those established into your hearts indelibly. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. My, it's wonderful here to study where it says Jesus loved the church. And he gave himself for the church, and he sanctified the church, and he cleansed the church with the washing of water by the word. The Bible says, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe you may, he went down into the water. The Bible says in Acts 22:16, Ananias was speaking to Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The last verse of the second chapter of Acts says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Tune in next week. We'll be talking about the Lord's church. Be a part of it. Obey the gospel. Repent and be baptized today and live for the Lord. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. And as we close this broadcast, we thank you for that name which is above every name. And help people to turn to the truth and to love your truth and to love your church in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.